Oh, baby. Oh, it's good to be back, mostly. Carmichael, Dave.
Right back here broadcasting from your kitchen.
Yeah. We're right next to it. We got a stove.
They put baby in the corner over here.
Got a fridge. Got a double oven. It's all I can do to not stand up and wave at Ken Rudolph the whole time because he's my friend. And he's right over here. We're at the CBS 13 headquarters. Headquarters where they're doing Good Day Sacramento. We're out here for a very, very good reason. There is stuff going on in the world outside of sports, and it is not all good in both Baton Rouge and right here, whether it's floods or a fire. So we've come out to do what we can to lend a hand to Good Day Sacramento and obviously the Red Cross hosting a telethon, just trying to raise money for those affected by all this devastation going on right now. We'll have all kinds of information and phone numbers for you so that you can help along. And at the same time, this will not be a telethon-style show. We're doing real, actual, stuff.
Sportsy news.
Yeah. And hello, Katie. Hello, Nate. Ben,
hi.
I want to say 5 days. Wow.
Yeah, but
wow,
it seemed endless.
Wow, you missed
endless.
Us.
You know, I did. What'd you say, Katie?
I said, wow, you missed us.
This is going to be great, too, doing the whole show. And every time I turn to Katie, she's just got this giant piece of tissue hanging out of her nose.
Well, what's worse,
really
the tissue or,
doing
like,
it
having the braces
you.
In there?
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
So I got them out yesterday.
Yeah,
look,
yeah, yeah.
See how much better I sound?
Yeah.
It's so much better.
Do you see?
Can you see?
How good
can
she
you
sound?
I totally see how great you sound.
See?
Katie.
Well, you're going to make me hit. Look, I almost
TV
hit my head
idiot.
On the stairs. The TV idiot.
Yeah, you're going to bonk your head on those stairs.
They literally put baby in the corner over here under the staircase.
Nope. Stuffed under the staircase.
So you got your quarters out of your nose, the whatever yeah. they were, and now you sound better.
I do sound
but
better.
But you're constantly, you got this drainage going
it's
on.
It's just so like I have a cold as well. I got a cold like right as I went into surgery, so it's nice. I just have a nice little, I have a little runny nose. It's all right.
Better catch
I really it. Just put the tissue there. I know, that's why I put the tissue there. Yeah. It's hard for it to run off, drag, and all that stuff. I really just do the tissue because I don't know, because it bothers you.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not even looking at it.
No, they're like they're doing a close-up of the table and us earlier, and there's Katie's snot rag just chilling in high definition.
It's a tissue.
1080p. No, it's literally, I mean, that is, you can call it a tissue. That's
oh
a nice
my
thing,
gosh.
But it is a rag of snot. So there you go. In fact, save it for the end of the show. Maybe we can give it away on tomorrow's show, actually.
I'm thinking.
Katie Snot Rag, 339-1140. And someone please get a camera. If we get a camera over on Katie, she won't do that anymore.
Oh, that's not
she
true.
Just put a camera on
that's
a tripod the whole time.
That's just assuming that I care.
It's so hard for me not to wave to Ken Rudolph, though. And I know he's doing.
Just do it.
He's busy. He's doing stuff.
He's and such a pro.
And that's the thing is that that's the problem here, too, is that we don't know what type of story they're doing because we can't hear. So they could be doing like something really serious. And then we get up like the dumb radio people, hey, good to see you again.
Yeah.
And
I'd leave that up to you.
That's awkward.
Just go ahead and ignore everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah. Dave.
Yeah,
Katie, CBS Radio.
Okay. I'm curious how your trip went.
Trip was great.
Yeah.
Trip was awesome. There are a lot of stuff to get into from L.A. We'll do that in the show. Also got in a fight with a major celebrity. We'll, I'm sure, talk about that because that was neat for me. I'll tell you, top story. By the way, we will also have Matthew Barrows on at 8 o'clock to talk 49er, and we'll also hit Raider. At some point here late in the 6 o'clock and throughout the day as well. Since I was gone, now I know you probably covered a lot of stuff yesterday, but as far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen if I wasn't here. So a lot of stuff happened over the weekend. One of those things, I played in this golf tournament down there, and they give you, my favorite part other than the golf, is they give you a goodie bag, and it's a real goodie bag. Like, it's a goodie bag with, like...
Oh, I did not hear about the goodie
Under
bag.
Under Armour polos and Adidas and all that. And one of the things I got in the goodie bag was this Fitbit that you keep staring at on my wrist.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Will you please give it to me? You're not going to use it.
So, Nate, were you going to say what? You're wearing it on your wrist?
No, I was just going to remark at how much weight you've lost.
Well, and actually,
I'm
happy to say that because Cody Stark over there, our other buddy who's on the anchor desk, had remarked when they were doing the tease how much weight I'd lost, which, thank you, Cody. If I had my little ding, I'd press it because I'm way thin
yeah,
down.
Yeah, you have just been dropping the LBs.
The kids call it shredded, Katie.
Oh.
Okay, that's what I am. So
I don't think that word means what you think.
I don't think so.
You're shredded, right? No? Well, you're bulked up? I thought that's what I meant.
You know, when you're
So I've noticed I programmed this Fitbit yesterday, and here's the problem. This is my first Fitbit, shockingly. It's my first. You all right there?
I'll be fine.
Okay.
Told you I had a cold.
It's my first Fitbit, and I would never have bought one because exercise.
I want it.
So I said, you know what? I'm just going to – it's like a watch. It's kind of like a little digital watch. And then I can see that I've already taken 1,236 steps today since I woke up, right? It's got my heart rate at 96.
Holy cow. Okay. Well, now it's at 94.
That's your resting heart rate?
No,
that's
my resting heart. No, my resting heart. I'm not resting. No,
Nate and I are like down in the high 50s.
But funny you say that because I've got the little app on my phone. Now, I tweaked on this thing yesterday. That shows me exactly stuff like what my resting heart rate is like 70 or something.
Oh, geez.
This isn't a what? Oh, geez. That's high? Well, let's see what your resting heart rate is there, guy.
Well, usually mine is around like, you know, like what? The high 50s, low 60s.
Let's put this on you
okay.
and see what your resting
see,
heart rate is.
This is what I've been wanting to do.
See,
for
I
a
didn't
while.
Really want to step into Actually, this. Wait, I was just hoping that it was okay. 90.
Now, that's a bad idea on my part. You know why? Because you won't give it back.
Put it on.
You've been eyeing it the whole time.
Slip it on my wrist, please.
Okay.
Whoa.
And I know, right?
Isolate
it's
that.
Like the only time ever. Mm-hmm. A guy's going to put something around Katie's.
On my wrist, right. I said.
Oh, I can't even fit my hands around her wrist.
Oh, that's
so not
true.
Well, that's because you have little dough hands.
I have the tiniest wrists. You need to be quiet.
So I don't like the inherent pressure I've realized that a Fitbit puts on you. Because I put it on and it shows now I can log the water I drink, how I sleep. I got 4 hours and 41 minutes last night. That was pretty
good. That's impressive.
That's actually good for me.
That is good.
This, that, whatever. But now, okay, so let's see here. Let's.
Hey, indeed.
Oh, Jesus. You scared me there. Oh, wow, look at that, 85.
Well, I just put it on.
Oh, so it's going to come down now.
She's got
it. So
yeah,
her
is actually coming
breathing
down.
But that's
it's
yeah.
just rapidly
but you're,
dropping.
But let's check it randomly now as we talk. Because right now you're doing like ohm type of stuff, like meditation and all that.
I am not.
Her heart rate
what
was
part
seven.
This is,
her
do
heart
you
was,
think is meditation?
Your heart rate was 7 beats lower than mine, and I'm doing 90% of the talking right now.
Oh,
of course,
does
talk,
it take your
talking
heart rate
makes
up?
Your heart rate go up. Yes,
and that's getting all excitable.
Right.
On the radio.
Just be honest.
That's science.
Because you're sitting with Nate and I.
What was your resting heart rate when you were getting read online last night?
Oh, probably about 136. Dear Lord. So this Fitbit thing, which is all the craze with the kids, I don't like the inherent pressure that comes with it. As I'm setting
it
up,
it.
There's
awesome.
A Fitbit community where people say, start here, and there's moderators on the forums, and they tell you don't post until you read this, and this is what this means, and you know, eat right. And all this stuff.
What
that,
is the movie where it's like very clinical and gosh.
Philadelphia.
It's like all a sterile environment and everybody talks like this. It's almost like the Stepford Wives type thing.
It's
like,
the second
show?
The second part of E.T.
Don't touch my
Fitbit.
No,
look at it. Let's see what it is. Move your fat hand.
Okay.
Hold on here.
This all is right. very fun.
76.
Yeah. So like, just give me a moment.
You need more moments?
Listen to how like chilled out she's talking right now, trying to run that thing. I need a little more.
So
you got the Fitbit. What else did you get in your goodie bag?
I find this inherent pressure. I'm not done with the story yet of me needing to work out. Like I read all this stuff and I'm like, oh, you know what? So I can hook up my and I'm the worst.
This is good for you, then.
No, it's not because I'm the people that I was being the people that I make fun of, and rightfully so. Where I went into my closet and I grabbed my old gym bag and I actually pulled out because I hadn't done this in a while. Like
you lie.
No, I swear to God. I started going through all my stuff and like on the bottom of piles and stuff, like my old workout clothes, like the shorts and the shirts and all that. I found my little Bluetooth headphones that I use, the little strap, the little strap for the
your iPhone,
iPod.
For my iPhone, iPod, yeah, exactly, and all that. And I started thinking like, well, can I stream music from Spotify? Well, I'm also connected to my Fitbit, and how will it work? And all of a sudden, I realized
you're not going to do any of that.
Exactly, none of it. I'm not going
to
do
but
any
you like
of
to know
it.
If
it
is. You're
listen,
able to do it, or not.
It is really cool to like rediscover gadgets and stuff, though, that you
had,
and you're like, oh man, I'm totally going to use this. Like, look at how cool this is. It's strapped to my arm.
Yes,
and then
I start thinking
I'm with
of
you,
like,
I do that.
I downloaded 4 apps last night on like workouts. Where you can like the little video and be like, this is what you do to build my YouTube. And it shows like the guy like doing it in the proper form and all that, like the old ones I had. I'm not doing any. I don't even know if my gym membership is active right now. I think it is. But I haven't been there in almost 2 years.
That is just giving somebody your
money.
Yeah,
let's work the mic there.
That's just giving somebody your money.
What, the gym?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I'm paying for a gym membership.
I won't. Yeah.
I won't say the name because I think they're soon going to be a sponsor. But I've been paying for this gym membership for two. My wife goes to a different gym now.
And she works out with the CrossFit guy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. He hates CrossFit, by the way. So yeah, I don't know. I'm one of those dumb people that got a Fitbit.
That's the guy she tells you not to worry about.
Yeah, the Fitbit guy. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about Tim. He's just staying with me and helping me train while you're gone, David. We'll take a break. Lots of stuff still to get to. Like I said, Matt Barrow's joining us today. We're out here at CBS 13 with the Red Cross. We have a ton of stuff. It's a busy Tuesday.
Oh,
Dave,
man.
Katie, and
get
Nate.
That Kleenex
and
going.
Katie Snotrack. Give me my Fitbit bet. Sports 1140. Bed ran out. KHDK. All right, we get it, Matt. Thank you. That's very funny. I see what he's doing. He's trying to get me in trouble, and that's fine. That's fine. That was Leslie Jones from SNL and doing her little whatever she was doing on SNL.
That's the update desk. Yeah.
Yes.
She's actually very funny. I like her on SNL.
Honestly, I don't. I haven't watched SNL in a while, so yeah. I was trying to think last night for good reason. If I remembered any bits or skits.
For what reason?
Because, well, apparently Leslie Jones and I hate each other now, and it's so sad and silly and fun because I really, honestly...
You don't hate her.
Don't at all. So yesterday, during Olympic coverage, at one point, I was watching in the afternoon, but I was watching DVR. I was trying to catch up, so I DVR everything. So it was something with she and Ryan Seacrest. So I think it was from like the night before, one of their little the bits they do on the beach. And I just tweeted out at one point. I said, "Man, is there Leslie Jones free Olympic coverage? Am I a bad person for even thinking that?" Because I've tweeted out before. Like I personally like the sports stuff. I understand the need for the background stories, the reality show stuff, that you have a finite time to get the viewers to be invested in these athletes. So you say, hey, she started out in Kentucky with one leg, and now she's overcome. And, you know, whatever it may be, where you go, oh, okay, I get that she's overcome adversity. Like, there's a real reason for that.
Yeah.
But for me, I just kind of fast forward to the sports. So I put that out there, right? I say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Man. So one of
– You did not – use her Twitter handle.
No. I just spelled out her name. I didn't at her.
But to be fair,
tag her
Twitter, and everyone in the world is on it.
100%, 100%. And I have more than, you know, 5 followers, so odds are someone's going to see it. So one of my fun followers on Twitter, Nick, who really I don't think he feels horrible about this whole thing, and he shouldn't. He quoted the tweet and tagged her in it. Right.
Yeah.
And even hashtagged it with NARC, like I'm tattling on you, right? It's fine. No big deal.
Okay.
So a couple hours later, I received the following tweets from Leslie Jones of SNL and Olympic coverage. And I'm just reading them as word for word because I don't want to take anything out of context here. She just starts out, at Carmichael Dave. I mean, we're not even following each other. Why would you even tag me? I don't go looking for people I don't like to tell them. We could have went the rest of our lives without ever talking to each other, but you had to find me to tell me that SMH. Like, why are you tuning in? Seriously, you don't have to watch. I'm so confused. Does someone have a gun to your head?
Oh.
And then it was on.
It went off the
So
rails.
A few things. Like, first off, I put out a tweet with a snark bent to it about her coverage on the Olympics and the coverage in general, but it sounded like I was hammering her, and then that's fair. And as Nate just said, it's Twitter. It's public. It doesn't matter if she got tagged by somebody else or not. You put it out there.
Right.
I think Twitter would be a much better place if everybody tweeted at anyone. You had the mindset that they were going to see it and they were going to respond, whether it's, you know, you,
Nate,
or...
you act like that makes a difference for people on Twitter, but I see what you're saying.
No, I think that if people thought that, like if some of the things they would say about whatever Brad Pitt or... you know, this singer or that or whatever. I think if they like...
Did you just realize that last night?
No. I didn't realize it. I'm saying I think Twitter would be a better place if everybody tweeted with the idea that they're going to read it and they're going to respond. I think there'd be a lot less garbage out there.
Sure.
I tend to disagree, but
right.
Okay.
No, but that's like the exact opposite of what you did last night.
What do you mean?
Well,
because I didn't tag her?
No, because, like, I don't know that you gave a lot of consideration to the fact that she was going to be reading it, like, when you sent out that tweet.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a good reminder. And then the conversation that ensued after was like, hey, listen, I have absolutely no problem with anything she said. I think she mistook that I, you know, she said, why did you tag me in this? I didn't tag you, but that's irrelevant because I put it out there. And I do think that her reaction was a little high strung for it was a giant fine for a tiny crime, in other words. But again, you put it out there, you deserve it.
Okay.
But the reaction that ensued were like, my goodness, the concerned police were all over the place. I got called a tiny person, a tiny man, hateful, insensitive, and many other things I don't even want to share. And there were two
by
choices.
Who?
Oh, just by people who saw her
okay.
tweet and then came on board. Now, granted, I'm not oblivious to this, although I wasn't thinking about it at the time I tweeted that out. She dealt with, and seriously, she dealt with some amazingly hateful, horrible things a couple weeks ago from people on the Ghostbusters movie.
I saw her on Watch What Happens Live.
Like the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
So, I get where she's probably got a pretty quick trigger. I totally understand that in light of especially what she's dealt with. But there's two things I can do. I can erase a tweet. I can say I'm hacked, because that's what people do.
I can
apologize and back off of it. And my whole thing was, this is important. Not important, but it's, you have to own that.
So I think that I've known
obviously.
You. I've known you.
I mean, like,
you
I
have
just,
to.
Like, I don't, this whole thing is like, this is just funny to me. I mean, I don't know, Dave, like, this is just so you online. And
me?
I mean,
have you ever criticized anybody on Twitter before?
Well, of course.
Okay,
is Bruce Pervin.
Right,
no
but I'm saying,
it.
But no, but then if they came back at you.
No, but like, I'm thinking about this tweet specifically when you say, like, am I a bad person for thinking that? Like, no, you're not a bad person for thinking it. You might be a bad person for tweeting it, because it's one of those, like, if you can't say anything nice, and like, I'm not saying I'm perfect.
Sure.
But.
And that's the thing. I was going after something personal with her, or if it was hateful, I'm with you. We spend half
well, it
our
is personal. You don't want to see her on your Olympic coverage.
We spend
coverage.
Half our lives online, and Nate, I could scroll through your tweets of saying this sucks, that sucks, I don't like this, I don't like that, whatever. If we're at a point where we can't, there's 90,000 people out there that think I sound like a moron on the radio. God bless them for it. But if we're at a point where we can't say, you know what, not into this, and that makes you a hateful person? Dude, then we've gone around the bend.
Are you guys ready for a timeout?
Yes. You don't have to express it.
Why? That's what Twitter's for.
Well, it worked out for you, didn't it?
Do you want me to scroll? But again.
No, I mean, go for it.
I'm saying.
I'm not saying I'm perfect, but, you know, come on, man.
So we criticize whatever, but then you criticize something, and the person you're criticizing comes back at you, which, again, fair freaking play. And then it's like, well, you should be nicer online.
Okay.
Really?
So you didn't learn anything from that experience?
Can you two take a time out for a second and let me interject
yes, please.
Something
Sorry.
Right
we,
now?
Yes,
okay, are you
yes.
guys done
no,
like
well,
griping
you,
back and forth at each other?
Stop scolding us and talk.
Okay, well,
dear God.
Here's the thing. I have no problem with what you said, because I really like Leslie Jones. And as soon as I saw her, that she was going to be going to the Olympics and doing coverage, I started following her on Twitter. I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. Mm-hmm. It has not been funny. It has not been entertaining. It has not been good, in my opinion. She's very good on SNL. She is not a sports broadcaster. And I don't know what she's doing over there, but it seems like maybe NBC didn't really have a plan. It was like on a whim that they invited her. And I don't think that it is necessarily worked out to the fullest for
them. I mean,
them.
She's immensely popular online.
She absolutely is. But I'm just saying, from someone that is a sports person, she's not good at Olympic coverage, and nor should she be. She's a freaking comedian.
She's entertaining.
So for you to say, is there any Olympic coverage without Leslie Jones, and to not tag her directly, I just feel like that is something that was in your head, which very frequently gets put on your Twitter timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tagged her in it, and she picked it up. I have no idea why she thought this was worth her time to come at you with this, because listen, I'm on people's TVs all the time. The number of people that I get tweets from saying you're horrible at your job or whatever, do you think that it's worth my time to respond to every single one of them, or even a single one of them? It's not.
You should.
So I don't understand
tell Leslie Jones
what she's doing. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't think that you did anything wrong.
Tweet or start a conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because
good luck with
that's worth the conversation.
There's still a lot, and that's why I was glad it happened last night, because I do think this is an interesting topic on all sides. And, Nate, you brought up some points. Katie, you brought up some points I'm actually surprised at. I did not think you'd come down that way. We'll get into that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. We're actually hoping to get a surprise appearance by Sam Amick live from Rio.
Samick.
I do that same thing. That's funny.
Sam Amuck.
He can find his Wi-Fi bus. Ken Rudolph's going to come over at some point and visit with us because the drive on Sports 1140 KHDK. We're broadcasting live from the set of Good Day Sacramento. Today we're here with the American Red Cross hosting a telethon as everyone aims to raise money to help those who've been affected by all the devastation going on in Louisiana, the fires here in California. To donate, here's a phone number for you, 877-239-2931. We'll repeat that throughout the day. All of us here at KHDK, CBS Radio, and everywhere else, TV.
What's that number again?
It's 877-239-2931. You going to call it? We got to do the segment, but then, yeah.
No, I mean, after. I would just say, because, like, normally, like, when someone leaves a voicemail for me and they just say their number, like, yeah.
All right, so we have a lot of stuff to get into, but I want to reset what we talked about in the last segment, because this actually couldn't have gone any better, because I completely misguessed.
Misdiagnosed the room.
Who was going to say who?
As well as I.
Who was
going to
say what?
Yeah, as well as I know the both of you, especially you, Katie, I would have flip-flopped your responses. Got into it with Leslie Jones. I keep wanting to call her Leslie Moore. Who used
Leslie
to work with
Nope.
The Kings. Leslie Jones, because I said I didn't like the those segments with her on the Olympic coverage.
You basically said, is there any Olympic coverage without
that
her
That doesn't
in
have
it.
That. Right, right, right. Yeah. And that caused you a hullabaloo last night. She responded and all that. Now, Nate, you really surprised me more than her.
Yeah, because, Nate. Why do you have a conscience?
Well, no, let me be fair to Nate here and explain why, because I will often tease you about being, Deadspin, Goodyear, and all that, and the whole website and that whole attitude of, where generally, like, that quote unquote Deadspin point of view is, hey, you're out there, you put yourself out there, deal with it, stop being sensitive.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Get a thicker skin and get over it. Katie, I expected you to come at me with, hey, listen, maybe you should have shut your mouth and realized all the stuff she's dealing with, not just as a broadcaster, but as a woman in the sports world and with all the stuff she's been dealing with in the past on top. See what I'm saying?
I
wasn't like, I'm not trying to say that Leslie Jones was like totally right on the whole thing.
Sure.
I'm just, You say something like that online, and then you get blowback from it because she's got fans, and you've got a huge following. She's got a huge following. Things get out there. It's just you can't be surprised when things devolve. And
I was surprised she responded. I didn't expect that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't tag her in that.
And I didn't tag her. And again, to be clear, wasn't hiding from it.
No.
I remember, didn't want to directly go after her.
I remember
nothing
one
you
time
said
I
was
tweeted,
derogatory or rude.
Well,
or
it was snarky. But
it was snarky, but sure. There's something that's different. You didn't say anything that was disparaging towards her. It was nothing. There was
What do you mean not disparaging? Like, get this lady,
Nate,
off of my TV.
No.
Like, what do you mean?
He said, is there any Olympic coverage without Leslie Jones on
How do you
it?
Take and that other than I don't want her on my Olympic coverage?
I take it that he doesn't like the Olympic coverage that she's providing. But it's not Olympic coverage. It's just crazy
but
little things that they're doing. It's bits. It's what to me, it's like I feel the same way.
All right, we got
to
hold this off because here we go. We thought this might be a cool
Sam.
Surprise. And we don't know how long his Wi-Fi is going to last. Live from Rio, and this is going to tie in fantastically here. It's the one, the only, normally USA Today's big-time NBA writer, along with Jeff and a few others, but he's down there in the Olympics doing phenomenal work. Sam Amick. Sam, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, guys. Nice to talk to you. Some friendly voices out here in the foreign land.
I'm so stupid because I'm sitting here. We're broadcasting from the CBS TV studios with Good Day. You're in Rio, and I'm sitting here like giddy because you sound great, Sam. And you're in Brazil. That's great. You're not faking people out. You're not like at your home right now. You're really in Brazil.
I'm actually back by my pool. I got a bunch of hanging out, but my editors don't listen to your show. No offense. So I think I'm in the clear.
Hey, first thing for you, because you're doing great work and you're getting a lot of you're getting a lot of fanfare for this, and rightfully so. Your story on Gabby Douglas and the garbage she's dealt with, and Sam, I know you well, and I know that you probably thought about this line in your article quite a few times. I'm so glad you put it in there when you said you wanted to at one point go over and take her phone and give her a hug. I'm paraphrasing, but I think you made it so personal when you said that. I think that made the piece. How emotional was that whole interaction?
Yeah, I mean, it was something else. For one, if anybody missed it, like before she talked to the media after the uneven bars, her mother had actually done an interview with Reuters where she talked about how the social media stuff was ruining Gabby's experience. So I learned quickly from some of our gymnast experts at USA Today who cover it all the time that they didn't know what to make of it because her mother is a little bit notorious for being a bit dramatic. So we went into it, you know, really wanting to find out, like, where's Gabby's head at and is her mom really representing how she feels or what's going on here? So she winds up having a disappointing finish in the uneven bars, and then she talks to all of us. And it was kind of fun because, obviously, I'm always doing hoops, so you have a change of pace. And you got guys like Dan Wetzel from Yahoo there and Les Carpenter, who's a fantastic writer, and all trying to get inside Gabby's head a little bit. And when we got to the topic of the social media stuff, I mean, the expression on her face changed. It obviously bothered her quite a bit. She talked about it at length. She teared up a little bit during the interview, but the more powerful stuff was after she was done. And I'm kind of glad that I ended up sticking around and really just kind of watching her from a distance. There was this area where she went where the media was not allowed. And to be honest, if I had been allowed, I probably would have tried to go talk with her a little more. But because of that restriction, I was kind of stuck just watching her. And she had just told us that people around her were telling her to get off her phone. And the first thing she does after she's talking to us is to go over by herself in the corner of the room and pull her phone out and start swiping through. And it was one of the more painful things I've seen just from a kind of an emotional standpoint because I'm going to pull the old guy card here, Dave, and you can relate because we're both similar ages. Like, no, I'm serious. Like,
yeah, no, you're right.
Generationally, I'm covering her. I'm writing about her. You're a journalist. In that moment, I wanted to be like, ah, screw that. I want to walk over there and give her a hug and say, sweetie, who cares what they're saying on there? Put the phone away. You're tremendous. Yeah. You're doing amazing stuff here. And sure enough, you know, she keeps looking at the phone, and then she's got to pull the tissue out and start dabbing her eyes, and then somebody's hugging her, and she was crying, and she was upset. I mean, it was tough to watch.
You know, it's one of those things to me. When you are any type of a public figure, Sam, you have to be able to – you have to have a little bit thicker skin, and sometimes it's difficult to do, and she's endured a lot of things. I actually want to transition a little bit to basketball because, in a way, the men's Olympic team has kind of had to endure some criticism themselves because this is a team that has gone over there with really high expectations and have not performed at the level that we're used to seeing the USA men's team perform at in the Olympics, which is just utter domination. They're winning, but not by the dominant kind of means that they have in the past. What is going on with that team internally in terms of, you know, what they're hearing from the outside?
Well, I mean, they seem like they're fine as far as being in a good place. Jimmy Butler was the one who keeps banging his drum about, you know, I don't really care what y'all say. If we win, we win. That's all that matters. And so they're kind of falling back on that. They're also, to their credit, they're being pretty candid. You know, I wrote today about how I had asked Paul George after the game against France, you know, he made a comment about how we're going to have to grind these games out. And I said, all right, I get that, but I'm curious going in, what did you think it was going to be like? And I love it when a guy's not afraid to be honest. And he kind of laughs. He goes, oh, I thought we were going to dominate. And he flat out said, he goes, I thought these games were going to be easy. And they've been anything but. And Kevin Durant was kind of sending a similar message, admitting that it's tougher than they thought it was going to be. What's going on, I think, is partly a combination of, you know, you see this every Olympics. The Americans have tried to do a better job of having continuity in their program. But unfortunately, the bottom line is right now they've only got four players on this team who competed in the FIBA World Cup 2 years ago. They've only got two players, Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony, who were on the Olympic team in London in 2012. And you kind of juxtapose that with teams like Argentina and Spain and Brazil and France who have got these cores who have been together for years and years and years. I mean, Manu Ginobili and Luis Scola and Carlos Delfino and Andres Nocioni here, those guys are going 3 and 4 Olympics deep. And the chemistry that comes with that, you see one side having a lot of it and they can read each other and they're just, you know, they're all on the same page. And the Americans are still figuring it out. There's not really any negativity or any, like, you know, kind of salacious subplot going on right now. I think it's just a bunch of guys that are used to being alpha males on their teams and trying to figure out what their identity is.
Sam Amick joining us from Brazil while the Wi-Fi holds up down there in his magic party
shuttle,
bus
gotta,
or whatever he's got.
I got to get the visual here. As my voice bounces, that's because these shuttles have no shocks. And the streets of Rio, my backside, I'm going to probably, you know, I'm not a massage guy. I'm going to have to go find somebody to work me out when we're done out here. These are some brutal
things. Hey, Sam, just, whoa. You know what? Stick to the bus, though.
Yeah,
stay
the Olympic
out of the
team already
cabs.
Tried that.
Stay out of the taxi cabs. That's all I'm saying.
The basketball team got in trouble for that, Sam. Easy.
I know, right?
So, yeah, so okay. It's the thoroughly vibrated Sam Amick joining us from Rio on KHDK. You, Sam, you brought up the inexperience of Team USA, and now we're starting to see articles like, you know, we should have seen this coming because they're missing LeBron and Steph, and look at this roster, all these various excuses. Are we not giving enough credit to the other nations when we feel the need to point those things out?
Yeah, Nate, I think so. I think there's part of that. I think that, you know, and this is fun for me because this is my first Olympics, and when I covered FIBA a couple of years ago, I had not covered international ball like that. And so even for me, the eye-opening and the respect that I have for these other teams grows, you know, and really is kind of doubled in this tournament because you see it again. I mean, FIBA, the Americans dominated. They won by an average of 33 points. And so this is, in that regard, kind of the first time I'm really seeing the way these teams play and how cohesive they are. So there is, I think, from some circles, a lack of respect for the talent, not only the talent overseas, but again, it's the culture and it's the program. And it's the fact that even these coaches, you know, some of these coaches have known these guys since they were kids.
Yeah.
And you see that on the floor, and defensively specifically is where Team USA just, there's so much back cutting. There's so much movement from so many of these offenses. And a lot of the American players are just caught sleeping. And if you're a step or two behind, I mean, they're getting beat back door like crazy lately, and I'm sure Tom Thibodeau is just losing his mind. I wrote today, too, that, you know, there's no way he's getting good sleep out here because the defense has been terrible. I mean, their offense, I don't know if you guys have looked at the numbers at all, best offense in the Olympics by like 15 points per game. So they're scoring the ball. They just can't stop anybody. Yeah.
Sam Amick joining us from Brazil as he is down there covering the Olympics. Sam, a little behind the scenes, you started to get into the bus and all that. How long's the flight? How are your accommodations? But more importantly, we hear a lot about, you know, Zika and Rio and crime and garbage and poop in the water and all that. Honestly, you've been down there long enough. Is that been overblown or pretty much right on the head?
So my breakdown is this. The flight, we went on vacation with the family leading into this in New York, which is a lot of fun. And so I flew from JFK down to Miami. Unfortunately, it was delayed. Got stuck for a day in Miami. The flight from Miami to here was about 8 hours. So it was a red eye. Once I got on it, no big deal. It was fine. The rest of that stuff, it's kind of, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. The Zika has not been a concern. I think I've seen two mosquitoes since I've been here. The off that I brought with me and hopefully
that
I don't
you know
up.
Of.
Yeah, I know. But it's, part of it is, Katie, it's the winter out here. And yeah. The numbers on Zika are down about 90% from what they were 3 or 4 months ago. And so the local message, you know, and even from the IOC officials is that it's not nearly the concern they thought it was going to be. There's a lot of other stuff, though. I mean, I keep describing Rio to people as, and this is kind of a sad statement, but it's just a little bit of a spoiled paradise because it's so beautiful and it's so amazing. And even yesterday I did sneak away and go up to Sugarloaf, which is the incredible mountain that overlooks the entire bay. And from that distance, from 30,000 feet, it just, you see how pristine it is. But then they've obviously got, it's a tough place. They've got a lot of issues. The media housing where we are, to answer that question, Dave, is about 35 minutes away from the main press center. And the housing's fine. But as we walked out this morning, there's a stench in the air that you just kind of get used to because a lot of the local sewer systems are just ill-equipped to deal with the people. And so, you know, on a relative basis, we've been lucky. We're not suffering through anything. I can take a hot shower and go to the restroom and all those things. But you certainly see that a lot of the country doesn't have those kinds of luxuries, and it's eye-opening. I mean, it certainly makes you appreciate what we have back home.
Sam, I want to actually get back a little bit to basketball before we let you go. I wanted to talk about the men's team in the sense that we know that the national teams for other countries, there's a longevity there. They've been together for several years, played in multiple Olympics together. A lot of them are NBA players. However, when you look at this national team for USA, this is a group of guys that have not played well together. It's a young group. I'm a little, from what I'm seeing, they're not really playing very well to their strengths. They're trying to play more of a half-court game with teams that are just much better coached in terms of the amount of time they've been together and game plans in terms of playing to their strengths. What do you see in terms of changing moving forward as the Olympics progress for the Americans to be able to play more to their strengths?
Well, I mean, it's the balance of the roster makes things, I think, a little tricky on Coach K, because he's clearly been prioritizing offense. You know, that starting lineup he has is offensively heavy, defensively light. And I don't know if he's going to go back the other direction. He started bringing Paul George off the bench, and I thought that was a good move because you had Paul and Jimmy Butler wreaking havoc on the perimeter defensively. So you've already seen a few tweaks. The to me, what's also interesting, and this is for the local audience too, is the DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, the allotment of minutes and how you play those guys. Everything with this roster is kind of the two extremes. I mean, DeMarcus is just a fantastic offensive player, and he's gotten better defensively. But, you know, DeAndre is a defensive player of the year candidate. I just think they've got to find a way to impose their will more defensively. And, I mean, the offensive stuff you talk about, playing in the half court, and the style that they're choosing a lot of times right now, it's because they're taking the ball out of the basket and it's slowing the game down and they're getting forced into those situations. So it's just a little bit, it's a wildly talented group where they don't fit all that well. You got, you know, Carmelo saves the day one day and drops 35 or whatever he had. And Kevin Durant, you know, I'm waiting for him to have a game like that. But Klay Thompson went off. But it's not a sustainable way, I don't think, to just kind of wait and see which guy can put on the hero cape and come out and get it done by himself.
Well, Sam, I mean, what exactly would this team's ceiling be defensively when, you know, two of your biggest players that you pretty much have to have on the floor are Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony?
I know. Well, and that's the conversation yesterday. It's like, it's funny, though, you almost have to change your perception. Like, Melo defensively internationally is better than Melo defensively in the NBA. So I was asking someone yesterday, like, what if you just said, go through the starting lineup and you say good, bad defensively, it's like, all right, Kyrie's bad, Klay Thompson good, Kevin Durant I'm probably putting on the good side now, he's gotten a lot better. Melo is kind of I don't know which way to go, and then DeMarcus is, I'm gonna give him a bad. So I mean, you're right, I don't know what the ceiling is, and I don't see, like, Klay in particular, just to pick one guy, during the FIBA tournament in Spain, like, I have distinct memories of just watching Klay go out and just play defense in fifth gear in the kind of way that you don't see him play during the NBA season because he's playing 30-plus minutes, and they just got into teams in a way they're not now. I think Kyrie is a big part of that because, you know, if you got the bigs always knowing that they're going to have to help – and not being able to just worry about, you know, their own guy in their own area, that's not ideal. And we all know that Kyrie, you know, lets guys go by him, you know, on a pretty routine basis. So in that regard, it's a tough mix, but they got to figure it out. I mean, this game in the quarterfinals against Argentina is going to be interesting because they're a small team and they get up and go, and these guys are going to be tested, I think, again.
When are you back, Sam?
Not for a while. The 24th. It's a long haul gold medal game. I want to say is what, the 21st, 22nd.
Yep.
And then in the interest of kind of just taking a quick breather at the end and maybe seeing a place a little more that I likely will never get back to, I added a little bit of time at the end. So we still get a long haul.
You did a great job on that piece, seriously. Not that your other stuff isn't good, but I think that's something you're going to be proud of a long time from now. You're doing great work, Sam, and we appreciate you joining us from the bumpy Brazil bus.
You got it, guys. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, take care. That is Sam Amick from Brazil.
Yeah.
Isn't technology rad?
It is.
The Wi-Fi party bus.
Absolutely.
It's crazy how he can have better reception on his cell phone on Wi-Fi from a media bus in Brazil than we can get some of our guests like calling from their house here in the States.
Seriously. And if you missed a good portion of that or came in at the end, don't be sad. We'll re-rack that later on in the old program. Also, Matt Barrows joining us at 8:05 to talk Oakland Raiders.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers. I think I'm instinctively trying to rub the Niners out of my brain after what I saw the other night. We're out here live from the set of Good Day Sacramento, the CBS 13 headquarters, here with the American Red Cross as they host a telethon trying to raise money for those who've been affected by the devastating floods in Louisiana and the brutal forest fires here in California. Katie's having all kinds of issues. To donate, please call 877-239-2931. All of us here at KHDK, CBS Radio, and CBS TV, thank you very much. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and man, are we pushing a lot of stuff. So we've got Raiders and Niners. We still haven't even finished our whole Leslie Jones conversation. And I still
Has it been marinating in your head?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
And I have this damn Fitbit on my arm that's reminding me to do things I don't want to do. We'll take a break on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.